Don't you think? Oh, Rebecca, thank you. Yeah, don't let the enemy make yourself afraid in any way, because the Lord just was very powerful right that moment, the whole time you talked. So didn't you feel it? Yeah. Yeah, God's very busy in your life, and he's blessing us through you. Thank you so much for what you shared with us. Well, our Advent series, thank you, Pastor Luke, for our Advent series and others that have spoken. It's been exciting. Our Advent series is about God shining hope in dark areas and dark times. Erica told us about Elijah, and last week Pastor Luke told us about, brought us Job. The sermons were about people dedicated to God, and yet they were experiencing confusion and complaints or questions. Sometimes just questions in their mind like Joseph, or questions verbalized like Mary we'll see today. Next week we will celebrate the birth of Christ, a wonderful day. And so let's today, though, one more time, look closely behind the scenes at two good people who also needed God to shine a little light in their direction. I'd like us to begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you so much for sending a Messiah and all your preparations for that day. Thank you, Lord, for Joseph and Mary and their beautiful story, for your love and your grace and their faith and their obedience. I would ask now that you'd help me get out of the way, help me step aside, and simply focus us on you and your word. Help me to be Christ-centered, and to handle your word carefully. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, our sermon today is called, You Said I'm Going to Do What? I don't think you'll find that verse anywhere in Scripture. You all can't quote that verse? You don't remember it? Yeah. But I think that's what was going on for Mary and Joseph. Wouldn't it be if it was you or if it was me? You want me to do what? You'll look at the outline on your screen or in your bulletin. We're going to look at both Mary. We're going to look at the story of Mary and Joseph. We'll start with Mary, and then we'll finish with Joseph. So Mary is in the first book of Luke. Joseph's story is in the first book of Matthew. And as we look at Mary, let's look at the outline first. Mary's confusion and God's encouragement. Don't you love that? When we're confused and have questions, he has encouragement. Then we see her faith even grow more because God sends her to Elizabeth. He doesn't really tell her to go, but we'll see that the angel lets her know about Elizabeth. And then her cousin or relative begins to encourage her faith even more. Finally, we see Mary's excitement and praise. The praise of God, we see her write her own poem, her own song, Magnificat, as she praises God. And I won't have time to read that, so hopefully you'll read that before Christmas and see her mature faith in the Lord and how she really did know God's character. The second one we're going to look at is the obedience of Joseph. So we're going to look at the faith of Mary, mostly. Then with Joseph, we're going to look at his obedience. We need both, don't we? But I love how we can focus on this. With Joseph, we'll look at his integrity and protectiveness. We'll look at God's plan, and then we'll look at Joseph's decisive action, his obedience. So if you will open up your Bibles to Luke 1, I would love for you to go with me through this. I want to step aside and just let you step into Scripture right now and just get as much as we can get in the time we have. Anytime we can dig closely into Scripture, we're going to find gold. And I want you to find your gold here. So if you look in the Pew Bible, it is, or if you brought yours, it's Luke 1. We start Mary's story starts in where we are today, is in verse 26. I want you to notice and remember that first verse. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, will you remember that for me as we go on? In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, what a strange way to start talking about Mary's story until we get into it and see a little bit more. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. Both Mary and Joseph were in the line of David. I want to stop us for a moment so we're all on the same page. I think probably you know this, but I want us all to know the same things. And that is that back in this day and age, in during Bible times, when people were pledged to one another, it was a little more than our engagement. It was more like they actually called them husband and wife. They just didn't live together, and they never consummated the marriage. But they were referred to by the neighbors as your husband, your wife, Joseph, and Mary. And it could only be broken by a writ of divorce if the husband wrote that divorce, went to the elders and had a divorce. That's how strong this bond was, a little bit more than an engagement. They would have 1 year of faithfulness and purity, and after that time then, it was kind of like a test. Okay, these people are faithful to each other. We're all getting used to the fact that they're married, you know, and in a year, they're going to come together. He's going to be building onto his dad's house or maybe his own house for her, and that she's getting ready for their life together. Then finally, they'll have this big celebration for a week long with a festival, kind of their own little feast. So they're looking forward to that. So she's pledged to him, but it's more than just an engagement. And to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." Okay, I want to stop there for a minute. Mary's confusion and God's encouragement is what we're going to look at here. First of all, you're favored. You're favored. What does that mean? First of all, before we start that, let's think about for a second if an angel came to your house. It's in your kitchen or in your living room, says. First thing they're going to say is, don't be afraid. Most places in the Bible, I can't think of a time it didn't happen. An angel appeared to someone. The first words out of their mouth, don't be afraid. The difference is with Mary and Joseph is I see something a little deeper, and you maybe will too, why they were afraid was not just the appearance of an angel. Because he says, look at this. The angel said to her, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary, look at 29, Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. Now, isn't that interesting? She's more worried about the greeting than the person bringing it. So what was her concern? Favored sounds pretty good, doesn't it, to be favored? But remember who we're talking about. This young Jewish girl, probably a teenager, because many of them were when they were married very young, and she's in her Jewish village, in her nation that is occupied by the Romans. And they were the chosen people. God said in the Old Testament, "You're Israel, you're the apple of my eye." God said to them, "You are my chosen people, not because you're large, for you're the one of the smallest countries. Not because you're strong. You're just chosen because I chose you." You see, God does the choosing, doesn't he? And so when she hears favored, yeah, I'm chosen, I'm favored, but that can mean a whole lot of things. The Jews have suffered for years, for centuries. It can mean an honor, but it can also mean there's other responsibilities going along with that, and certainly there was for her. So Mary was greatly troubled at the words, what kind of greeting this might be, but the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid." He said again, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found with favor with God." So he reassures her again. I love how God sends an angel with his words, reassure her. Can you see him telling Gabriel in heaven, "I want you to tell her twice, reassure her." I mean, his words are not his. They're from God. So he reassures her again. "Don't be afraid. You're favored. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." I have never seen so many prophecies of Messiah in such a little space. That angel, I wish I could put things that succinctly, you know, in a nutshell, this is who he will be. He quoted about 5 different prophecies in the Old Testament, right in that little sentence. This is, people have been praying for Messiah for generations, for centuries. She knew what he was talking about. This is Messiah. I'm going to give birth to Messiah. And then, let's go on. Then she says, here's her question. You know, just like some of the people we've seen in these last weeks at sermons, they have their questions. This is hers. How will this be? Verse 34, Mary asked the angel, and he, since I am a virgin. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Let's stop right there. If you're Mary, can you step into Scripture for a moment? You're Mary. You're a virgin, a young teenager. Imagine all the implications of what's being said here. Now, I'm going to put myself there and tell you what I would think. I think what I would think. But I'm not going to put words in her mouth because we're going to look at what she thinks. But I'll tell you what I would think. First, I'd think, wow, I'm going to have Messiah. We've been praying for this for centuries. My grandparents were praying about this. My parents, I'm going to be Mother Messiah. Oh, my goodness, my mother will never believe this. Joseph, how do I tell him? My neighbors won't believe it. I tell my best friend. She's going to think I'm delusional. My dad's going to kill Joseph. He's dead. He's gone, and he hasn't done anything. This is me. This is what's all, the honor, yes, but this is going through my mind. Now, there's something else we need to know. If Joseph accuses her, she legally can be stoned by the people in that village. She's facing something none of us would face if that happened to us today. So that would be me. I would be thinking, now, did she think these things? I don't know. I would think they must have kind of flown through her mind a little bit, but I don't know. But let's look at what she did say so we know what she did think. Look at it. How will this be, verse 24, since I am a virgin? And he explains all that so nicely. The Holy Spirit's going to overshadow. And it is exciting. It's so exciting that God would do this. And we honor this and we're thankful. But if we're her, she still has that question. How do I know she still has that question? All I know is this is her question, not the ones I gave you of me. This is what she says. How do I know? Because, remember, God told the angel everything to say. This is not the angel's words. Because all at once, the angel drops something out of the blue, and he says, by the way, I don't think he says that part, but anyway, by the way, verse 36, even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail. I think we should all memorize that verse, don't you? Isn't that the most beautiful verse in the Bible? Verse 27 of Luke 1, for no word from God will ever fail. What is he talking about? He's talking about if God says you're going to have a baby and it's Messiah, you will. And you need a little proof that God's working. Because remember, has no proof of this. Sometimes, I know we're to live by faith. I know the Bible, Old and New Testament, says that the just shall live by faith. And I believe that. But I also believe sometimes I need to see a miracle to believe a miracle. Why do we share in church not only requests, but praises, what God does? Not just because we're excited for the people that the good things are happening to, but because we praise God that he's powerful and loving and that he does it. I love it in church when someone says, I want to share a praise, and you hear everybody behind you go, oh, you know, like, cool. Not just that's good for that person, but God, you're working. You're working. She needed to see that God could do this for her because God did this for Elizabeth. Now, it's not as big a miracle. I know that. But Elizabeth and Zechariah are very aged. They're past the years of having a baby. This was also a miracle. Now, do you remember I told you to remember that first verse? Remember I said, please remember? In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel, Gabriel, to Mary. What's so big? What's good about that? If she had gone and seen Elizabeth and told her this whole story, and Elizabeth could have told her, well, yes, I am pregnant. But if she's in her first month, you don't see anything. She's in her sixth month before God sends Gabriel to Mary. She can, what they call the bump now, I have a bump, but it's not really that kind of bump. But she can put her hands on the bump. She can go up and feel John the Baptist, who's going to be John the Baptist, one of my new favorite people in the scripture, is going to be jumping. and kicking. It's 6 months. That happens. She's going to spend 3 months with her cousin. Nobody else is going to understand her or believe her. She'll be away from prying eyes. She'll be away from people's gossip. She'll be away from seeing the hurt eyes of Joseph. And not only that, God gives her an opportunity to see a miracle for herself. If God can do this with Elizabeth, woo, he really jumped right then, didn't he, Elizabeth? You know, they have 3 months together to share with one another what God is going to do in her life as well as Elizabeth. It's going to encourage her. And God knew that, so he told Gabriel, drop this little tidbit and see what she does with it. The Lord knew what she needed. He knows when you need encouragement, and he sends someone to you. There's someone in this church right now that you could trust to pray with you, or that you need to pray with them. They need you. And the Lord knows it. He knows your heart. He knows you're hurting. You might even jot down on your program right now someone that you could call that you need some prayer from, that you could, that will understand you. You think would really understand you. If you don't have anybody, you call me. I'm in the book. And I'd love to pray with you. But I love that God loved her enough. I mean, she's having a baby. She's going to have a lot to face in her community. And God says, you know, Elizabeth's going to have a baby too. So what happened? We start seeing her faith. Instead of questions, she says in verse 38, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word be to me fulfilled. And then the angel left her. Verse 39, at that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea. That took about 3 days in a caravan, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to tell you what she said as we read it. But think for a moment before she got to Elizabeth. I wonder if she wasn't even encouraged on her way, thinking, you know, if God had the angel tell me about Elizabeth and her miracle, maybe God told Elizabeth and Zechariah about me. Why wouldn't he? You know, can you imagine? She had 3 days to think about this. Well, I don't know, but guess what? God did tell Zechariah, and he let Elizabeth know. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, being filled with the Holy Spirit, she said, blessed are you among the women, and blessed is the child you'll bear. But why am I so favored? Oh, there's our word again. Why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. She's talking about this young teenage Mary. That's who she's talking about. Blessed are you because you believe. How does she know she believed? Well, she's here. You know, maybe the Holy Spirit told her. But what she's encouraging her, the way she's encouraging her, is that I know you believe. And my child already leaped just at your greeting because you're going to the mother of Messiah. Well, later on, then right after that, actually, we see Mary's song or her poem that she wrote for the Lord. And it's called the Magnificat. And it shows her wisdom or young wisdom of who God is and his character. And you may want to look at that later. And then, verse 56, Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months. What a beautiful 3 months to get ready with one person. Isn't it wonderful? Do any of you have a friend that you're with that you don't have to explain yourself? That's a wonderful thing to have. That they just believe you. And you can say whatever you want. That's what she had for 3 months. So look at 56. Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. And that's when everything breaks loose now. She's back home in this little town of Nazareth, you know. Little towns are great. Everybody knows everybody's business. You know, they love each other, but everybody knows everybody's business, and this was a small town. So let's look at Joseph. What's happening in the meantime? So the angel, it looks like, we don't know, but it looks like the angel talked to Mary first, right? And she's, because she's there now for 3 months. We don't know when exactly the angel was sent to Joseph, but we know it's after she was back. And somehow everybody knows. So maybe it's a month or two when she's finally showing, because it says it was known that she was pregnant. So now she's has to face all this. And so does Joseph. Look at chapter 1 of Matthew, verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. I want us to stop there because Matthew wants us to know he's a different writer than Luke. And he's one of Jesus' disciples. And he wants to make sure people know, yes, she's found pregnant, but it's with the Holy Spirit. He wants to make sure people know. He's giving Joseph's story, but he wants people to know this. He's holding Mary up. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law. Some of your translations will say he was just, or he was a godly man or a righteous man. Mine says, my NIV says he was faithful to the law. It all means the same thing. This is a man that loves God and follows his leading, and yet did not want to expose her, Mary, to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. Let's look at this first. What kind of man he was. If he had charged her with this, it would have been adultery, actually, in this case, since she's pledged to her, she could have been stoned. Not only does he not want her stoned, he doesn't even want her disgraced. He knows he can divorce her, and he's thinking he probably should, but he wants to do that quietly. How am I going to go to the elders and get this writ of divorce without everybody being around and having a big group? He is so protective. Didn't God choose just the right stepfather and guardian, just like he chose the right woman to raise big Jesus' mother? What a man. He wants to do it quietly. He doesn't want her stoned. He doesn't even want people talking about her. He cares. That's a godly man that's that protective. But after he had considered this, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, the same thing that the angel told Mary, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. I want to look at this now. Let's take this apart. Again, if we dig into Scripture, we'll find gold. Let's see what he's afraid of. Is he just afraid of the angel? Doesn't sound like it. What it says here, let's look what it really says. It says, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because the baby in her is conceived of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't say, don't worry about it. Don't be angry and enraged. He doesn't say, don't be ashamed. He says, don't be afraid to take her as your wife. Now, as I prayed over this, I kept thinking about, what does that mean, Lord? Afraid to take her as wife. And the more I thought about it, this year when they're not together as husband and wife, but waiting for that time, if she was younger, as many people think she was, and many Bible scholars believe that, and there's no proof of this in Scripture, it's just a lot of commentaries, believe that Joseph was a lot older. And I don't know, maybe he was. We do know that he died somewhere between Jesus being 12 or 13and Jesus' ministry. We know that because that's the last time we see him is in the temple. And he's not with the brothers and sisters, which we see different times in Scripture when they come to see Jesus. He's not at the crucifixion when Jesus told John, take my mother as your mother, and mother, live with him. And Mary and John lived together the rest of their life. He didn't say, go back home with my stepdad. So he did die. We just don't know how. But this is what I wonder. If he was thinking to himself, she's a lot younger, I'm a lot older, maybe she wasn't ready to get married. What if I take her and the child as my own? What if I go ahead and take them? Even if I do, she may go be unfaithful next year. If she can't be faithful this year, before we've even come together, what makes me think she'll be faithful later on? Do you see what I mean? Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Don't be afraid to take her. I love that. God knows our hearts. He knows what we're afraid of. He knows what we're speculating about. And he knows where we need to be encouraged. Mary had the encouragement of Elizabeth. She had someone else to help her. And I love that. Joseph didn't have that. But he had the angel. He had God's word that encouraged him. I love this, though. As soon as he woke up, Joseph woke up. He did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him. He took Mary home as his wife. He did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. What a man he was, wasn't he? God never said he couldn't consummate the marriage. He's her husband. He could have. You know, we're husband and wife now. Why not? We love each other. We're together. This is how God, why God chose this kind of man. He did something above and beyond what the angel had said. Because why? He's being protective of her. This young girl, her whole body's changing and getting used to the fact that she's going to have a baby. I don't think he wanted to complicate it with her now for the first time having relations. I mean, she's got a lot to go through. So he's very protective of her. You know, he's very protective of God, God's word, of who God is. This is his baby. And very protective of Jesus Christ, the baby inside of her. I think of even in the future later on, which we'll find out later on, but when Herod, once he's a couple of years old, when Herod sends his executioners to kill Jesus, look for him. Angel wakes him up again, says, Joseph, take the baby and his mother and go to Egypt. God could have had the angels whisk them away. Couldn't he do that? Instead, he trusted Joseph. He trusted him with his own child. He woke him up. He knew Joseph would do that when he told him, Joseph, get up and take the child to Egypt. Very protective. If the commentaries are right that he didn't live very long, and well, we know that he didn't live past, as far as we can see the evidence, we do see that. We don't know why he died, if it was of old age, but he may have been. That was not uncommon for an older man to marry a young gal. If that's the case, it's an application for me that maybe you just came to the Lord and you're older. That God did not choose, I don't know why he chooses any of us, but he did. One thing I know, he didn't choose Joseph because he's going to have a long life to be a stepfather to his son. He chose him because he chose him. God, just like Israel, I chose you because I chose you. But he loved and knew he could trust Joseph to be that kind of father, even if it's a short time. And I love that. With Mary, he knew he could trust her faith. You know, with Mary, she didn't have to obey. There was nothing for her to obey. God sent the angel, this is happening. This is just happening. Like it or not, this is happening to you. It wasn't like Isaiah in the Old Testament where Isaiah said, send me. You know, God said, who should I send? Send me. No, the angel said, this is happening. But the interesting thing to me and the most wonderful thing about our Heavenly Father, when he does the choosing, but when he chooses, he knows who will have the faith, right? He knows who's going to respond to him. But here over here, and we see how she did, how her steps of faith get more and more and more, didn't we? And we see in Matthew's gospel that Joseph was obedient. We see faith in Mary. We see obedience in Joseph. He immediately did what God wanted, and we have application for both. We need faith, the faith of Mary, the obedience of Joseph, and that God does the choosing. And it doesn't matter how long you live, doesn't matter if you're a young teenager or if you're like Joseph and God gave you a job that's not going to last very long. He chooses and he knows your heart. I wrote a little poem. You knew I was going to do that, right? Sorry about that. I can't stop myself. So when the Lord gave this to me, I got excited and I wrote this poem. It just lessons from the life of Mary and Joseph. What does this mean? How can this be? There's Mary's question, right? How can this be that God would choose and use someone like me? I'm too young or too old. I've not enough time. I believed God's promises. I just didn't know they were mine. Maybe if I listen, keep faith, and obey, God will send encouragement along my way. If I let hope shine, for God's presence is here, my dark doubts and questions just might disappear. Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful story, not only of Mary and Joseph, but the story is yours. It's all about you and your birth, Lord. But thank you that you prepare our hearts. You prepare our hearts for what you would choose for us to do. Thank you so much, Lord, for Mary and Joseph's story. Guide us this Christmas that it would be our story. In Jesus' name, amen.